Al was disappointed. He heard Art and Atheist was doing better, and he wanted to be on that.
We just got new numbers in that suggest that we're almost neck and neck.
You're not as mad, right?
I'd rather save my thoughts for the airing.
Hello, and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the Intertubes, and from the award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guests' website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to the YouTube page called Ardent Atheist Podcast, which we also use for Skeptically Yours, and chat us up.
Do it, or you'll disappoint your parents.
Why would anybody's parents care if their kids chat in the skeptic tank?
Parents are all judgy like that, that's why.
But you're just making that up. No one cares about who's chatting during our show.
I care.
If you really care your daughter chats in the skeptic... Do you really care if your daughter chats in the skeptic tank?
No, I don't care, actually.
That's what I thought.
You jerk.
Guests may plug anything they want, including the chai hole of Dr. Phil.
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in Studio City, California. In the Studio City today, we have Al Lubell, Fred Stoller, and Drew Marks as well. On Skype, we have my mom. You know these folks from the world of reason.
And showbiz.
And showbiz, yeah, that's true. Mom was in showbiz.
Mom was in showbiz.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a singer.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey.
I was ready to step in.
Thank you very much. Drew has his own podcast. He knows how it goes. Was the neighbor just shouting through my door during this recording?
Well, the door was open. It was left open.
What was she yelling?
Can I shut the door?
Yeah, we'll shut the fucking door. Jesus, God. We all have headphones on. I have the worst neighbors. Psychotic.
You really?
Yeah, truly psychotic. You can actually find on YouTube, you can find not the neighbor that was just yelling, but another neighbor who had passive aggressively after I had turned on a vacuum one evening and woke her up at 1:30 in the morning. Gone downstairs into the garage, which is right below.
Don't
forget about it. You know what? When you live next door to people, on occasion you might have a sound that bothers them. The next morning you go, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking. I fucking turned that vacuum on to suck up some stuff by the computer. I'm sorry.
At the risk of showing my age, you have a Gladys Kravitz?
Much worse than a Gladys Kravitz. Nobody would be stupid enough to call themselves Mr. Kravitz with this woman. Anyway, she ends up in her garage, sweeping angrily, listening to the radio at blaring it and singing with it. Yeah.
Wow.
So I go down, because I'm a filmmaker, and I slide under the SUV in the parking lot there, and I set up a camera, and I film the woman, and you can see that up on YouTube. Search on YouTube for Emery Crazy Neighbor, and you'll find it.
So awesome. She was doing that to annoy you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next day, I mean?
That night.
That night?
No, I was in bed at 2. Yeah, I went to bed about 2 o'clock. I'm laying there ready to sleep, and then I hear all this downstairs. And I knew what it was. I mean, the minute I heard it, I was like, yeah.
But it's not possible at all that maybe she was just going to do that anyway?
Yeah, no.
He's a skeptic.
That's funny.
Yeah, not right.
He's
nicely done,
Al.
She's never ever done it before, so there's no reason to assume that at 2 a.m. she would be down there sweeping up angrily.
But it is possible.
No, it's not possible. She went down there to fuck with me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch the video. You be the judge.
You can tell.
Trying to stay on task here.
Yeah, I have. Listen, one thing about this show: no task. Whatever.
Right.
You know what? Listen. First of all, we really have one topic. Usually I have a couple. But today's topic, we're going to talk about whether or not therapy is good or bad. Is it negative? Is it positive? We're going to take a skeptical view of therapy.
Can it be also neutral?
Yeah. I know how this is going to go, Al. I know exactly how this is going to go. It could be neutral. And I think it's going to be a complex answer, not to try and... You know, presuppose, but I really think the answer to therapy is complex. Some people get a lot from it. Some people get nothing from it. Some people get a little from it.
It's another nebulous thing. There's a billion nebulous things like acting coach, life coach, feng shui, and I said to the late Warren Thomas, therapy's okay if, let's say, you touch little children, you accidentally shot your brother, or you pee in the street. He goes, I have all three. You know, but
I have all three.
Yes. But My analogy, it's like acting class. It's good to go for a few months or a year to get a foundation, but you don't want to be a permanent student or a permanent patient. And, you know, anytime you see on Dr. Katz, this nebulous stuff, you know, in written in a script, that it just, I don't know, it just seems like this general malaise of life that you become dependent on these people. They're all lunatics. You'll hear stories that they touch patients or have them sit on laps. Not all of them, but I don't know. It's to your dentist, you get a thing fixed. You don't keep going. When we did, I don't want to name names, when we did your Art and Atheist, this other guy was on it.
Name his name. I can't remember who you're talking about. Do you remember?
He's a good guy.
All right,
and
go
he
on.
Was, his religion was therapy. Like, people want to be convinced something is the savior. Oh, I wouldn't have had the kid if it wasn't therapy. Therapy showed me this.
Always depends on the individual, though. Some people need that crutch and some don't. It's like religion or anything else.
It's a religion. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like people want to think something's the answer. So I think it's like astrology. Again, I wish I had more thesaurusness than nebulous.
It's
not a science. It's the opposite of science.
But you're using Dr. Katz as an example?
He is.
Well, I'm saying whatever you see in a, like Bob Newhart or Dr. Katz, whenever they...
I love how all the people you quote are made up, though.
Well, I'm making television show people.
I'm making my point that it's sort of... When people just write filler into a thing, it's... Therapy is no different. When something, some fictional character would say, well, you need to like yourself, or you need to really take a time out, or I'm not saying it's the worst thing, but it creates a dependency, and it's...
Have you gone?
Yes.
How long have you gone for?
I went to one guy in when I was a kid. He would tell racist jokes and go, yes. He goes,
well, I think the
actually,
you don't know how to pick a therapist.
Actually, I ended up using in stand-up one of his jokes. Like, he would do a joke, go, you fucking don't light up. He goes, Superman, there's a black guy in a ledge, and Superman goes, hey, jump, and the guy jumps, and the joke was, Superman sure hates niggers.
Oh, I know that one. That's a horrible joke.
So, and I didn't like that. And he's going, you fucking are so uptight. And then I ended up actually using a version of that where Superman would go, hee, hee, hee.
Right, but you were a kid. So I'm assuming your parents chose this therapist for you.
Well, it's like, I think therapy is like parents, where you don't know your parents are off or warped. Because you think this is what the world is.
Sure.
Yeah. So actually, I saw another therapist that would set me up on blind dates, go eat with me. I swear to God, he was the comedian shrink. He was known as. So, you know, and he would try to write scripts and send it to other former patients, going, "Come on, don't read the first draft." So.
I think you're a victim of the Truman Show. You must be living some reality that isn't real, and people are sending you to shitty therapists or something.
Well, I just...
You used his joke on stage?
No, I didn't use...
I know. In addition to not getting better, you're a thief.
Didn't you say it?
Al's just obsessed with the fact that your therapist is your writer.
No, my version of that joke... No, I didn't really use that joke. I said, if there really was a Superman, I forgot he would... I forgot, but one of the tags was... You know,
I'm assuming this wasn't your closer.
I don't remember. All right. I think I did use it. No.
Now I want to go find the joke. Is it posted anywhere? Did you record it?
This is a long time ago.
I'm so old. That
how old are you?
No. Everyone, when they do stand-up shows, this is my first set at Uncle Calcablee's. They weren't videotaping so accessibly at comedy clubs.
Yeah. You were on TV when I was a very young comic.
Yes.
He was doing the wonderful, wonderful character bit of I'm a rebel, that whole thing. And it was just fantastic.
Well, one thing, my mother...
Taking Chance, what was that?
Rebel, I'm a thrill seeker.
He's
a thrill seeker. You can't stop
me.
Yeah,
I was already
I'll be riding on an Escalade, I'll let go of the handle.
I was already like
30-something.
Right.
That's where
I
learned that accent.
You know. My mother sees she would see a therapist and goes, I don't think it's doing any good. The therapist would just say simplistic things like, hey, you know, don't obsess. And it's, again.
I went to school for psychology. I was going to be a psychologist, but I don't like listening to people. But I don't know about these people you were seeing. It's like you're like the stories that you read. It's like you go
please.
To a dentist that's in someone's apartment.
No, people get mad when I put down therapy because it's like religion, because they want to so convince themselves their astrologer, their manager, their acting coach, their feng shui is giving them answers.
Yeah,
one time
yeah.
a woman flipped out if I said something bad about therapy because it's a religion.
Why you? I don't know that it's a religion. I think it's a crutch, and I think there's a difference. Okay. You know, certainly it's important
a
to...
A savior.
Well, absolutely. People are
sometimes.
Looking for answers, whether it be through religion, whether it be through ESP, or whether
exactly.
it be through any
meditation.
Of that stuff.
A book.
Meditation.
There was this woman who would leave self-help books at my door going, did you read it yet, you fuck? You know, you don't get better, asshole. Because she wanted to convince herself that book was making her better.
Well, that does happen. Everybody who thinks they've found an answer
pushes
then
on
wants
you.
Everybody else to try their answer.
Absolutely.
Because if you haven't tried fisting, I recommend it.
Yeah, but I think I think it's different than religion because there's a lot more evidence that a therapist exists than God exists.
That's
absolutely.
True.
You're a non-believer, aren't you, Al?
Well, I am an agnostic. I think anything's possible. I anything is possible. I still think that lady was maybe cleaning her garage.
Oh, you
legitimately.
Think?
Oh, wait till you see this video.
See, now I want to cue the fucking video up. But
I think it's possible that there is a God with a white beard running everything. It's very incredibly unlikely, but I think it is statistically possible. So
statistical?
I think it's statistically improbable. It's highly.
No, it's very improbable. But I'm saying it's statistically possible. It's wildly remotely improbable. Not likely.
I don't believe in the higher power and higher being, but I am going to completely rule out that there is a guy with a long white beard.
But you can't. But yeah, you're going to completely rule it out. But you have to admit that it's still statistically possible.
Yes,
like have you
anything.
Checked every area of the universe
no,
for a guy
any,
with a white
but
beard?
That's
have you been flying around
possible.
The whole cosmos and said I've checked the whole cosmos, no white beards?
So no.
You cannot say
so
that.
You're
so it's possible.
I think
right.
there's no value in the it's possible, and I'll tell you why.
Because
it's possible
to anything.
Thank you. It's what? Possible that a pebble created everything. When pebbles, by the way, at this point in time, were really fucking smart.
It is
I mean,
possible
anything
I
is possible.
But that's actually what I believe.
But by that standard, it's possible that I did it.
What? Right, right.
Yes, you can't prove yeah. I did
it. I have a routine in my act where I think it's possible I'm God.
Yeah.
I talk about that, but I still do think it's possible.
I do think that's possible. You, no white beard.
Right. Right. But I don't have it. Right. But I don't have the.
Checkmate, Alan.
Wait, thank you.
So you're such
thank
a,
you. Good night. I'm done.
Right. You're such a skeptic that you don't even believe in skepticism or atheism.
I believe in skepticism, but I also believe skepticism. Skeptics can be wrong. Sure, I'm skeptical.
I think you're wrong about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's a whole circular argument, but I don't think circular arguments are bad because circularity is what really runs the universe. The solar system, elliptics, everything's circular. So what's wrong with circular arguments?
Circular arguments don't get us anywhere. That's what's wrong with them.
I agree with you. The problem is you're just wasting time. Anytime you get into a discussion where you can admit from the very beginning there is no end to it, why have it?
Because I like wasting time.
I have a video on YouTube called Circular Reasoning, and it's just basically the Bible is the word of God. Well, how do you know the Bible is the word of God? Because it says so. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible is the word of God. Well, how do you know the Bible is the word of God? Because it says so.
If it would help you, I would send you to Fred's therapist.
Right.
I just look.
Why? Because that would be a waste of time.
Yes.
It's not just one. Again, let me reiterate. It's like an acting class where it's good to go, mm-hmm. but then you got to stop.
Yeah.
You got to be in the real world. A therapist, I'm not saying they're all psychotic and they're all a waste of time, but I think it's like a dentist saying, let's keep you coming here every week to keep looking at that
but
tooth.
At what point would you stop? Can you delineate exact amount of sessions you should go?
When she gets on your nerves.
Yeah, well,
or he.
Well,
that's just breaking up a relationship.
Well, I think once you, that the circular went through everything and said, you know, like I went to a point, I got to stop being a needy pest and asking people advice. Is it okay to feel this? Is this guy an asshole because he punched? Is this guy a bully? You know what I mean? I never trusted my feelings. So I said, I needed the opposite of a therapist. I needed to ask myself all these things. So I'm proselytizing no therapy.
I know, that's exactly what I was going to say.
All right, but
let me
but,
say
but,
something.
No, but
Fred.
I'm not saying no therapy. I'm saying I think there's got. I'm trying to answer your question. When's it okay to stop? I think they really don't encourage that.
Right.
Like I like TM because you don't have to pay. Well, you don't have to keep going.
Transcendental meditation.
You don't have to You don't have to keep going to seminars and reading books on it. Once you learn how to do it, you do it. Yeah. You don't have to, you know, go to a gym coach.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt. I was going to say, as someone with experience in the field, I can tell you that my perspective on it is, when the time, if you use therapy only as a tool to find ways for you to self-motivate and to get better. In other words, if someone can show you ways to improve yourself, that's fine. And then you should no longer really need, unless they're showing you new ways. But if you are just doing that same circular thing where you are just going in, like there's a guy, I'll use him by name, Vic Cohen's on my podcast. Great guy. This man is clearly obsessed with therapy. Every week, he goes in to talk to his therapist about the same things.
That's what I'm saying, the chronicness of it.
Yeah.
It's not helping. No, I have a friend, a mutual friend of Al's, and she keeps saying, see my therapist. I want to go, you've been going 20 years and you're nuts. You know, that's your endorsement. But
what if you don't see a therapist? What if you stop seeing a therapist because you're just chronically asking the same questions, right? But in life, you're just chronically making the same mistakes over and over again. At least you get to spend an hour a week with a guy.
Yeah. Listen,
because if you're that annoying, chances are you don't have friends. I'll give you that.
So at least you, an hour a week, you get to get out of bed, you get to go down to the office, you make a trip.
You know what?
You're still chronically sick, but at least you have some social contact.
That's why I say it's the word nebulous. It's as valid as hanging out Norm at the bar or being on the chat rooms.
For the same money, you could get a hooker. At least you get to see breasts.
Yeah.
And well, some therapists will abuse you.
That's Let what me you'd rather something. Have.
I've never really done the therapy thing. Only a couple of times have I found myself in therapy. When I was very young, I was struggling with making anything higher than a D, and it was not going well, and I couldn't focus. And
I went to therapy for that.
They put me through all kinds of stuff, and we'll get to that. We'll talk to Mom in a minute about that. But as an adult, I went one time on my own to see a therapist after I had a marriage fail. And I went maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 times, you know? And I think it was a weekly or biweekly, or every other week, rather. And after 10 or 15 visits, finally she says, so what do you want to talk about? And I realized we were just talking about the same thing we had talked the last three times.
Exactly.
And she said to me, do you feel like you've worked this out? And I go, yeah, with your help, I've definitely worked it out. I understand what I was dealing with there. And she said, do you feel like you still need to come?
What a great therapist.
Really great therapist.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'm not saying they're all like exist. Mine.
And I said, you're right. I really don't. I was just starting a habit that didn't need
if
to continue.
You, some people can benefit from being pointed in a good direction.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a music teacher like that once.
Yeah.
He said, I can't take you any further than you've already gone with me. I don't have the skills to take you any further. So you should stop coming to see me.
I met a girl at the dog park when I used to go every day, and you see the same people.
Yeah.
And we got into a conversation, and she's like, you know how people are very free about I see a therapist?
That's
true. That always amazes me.
In LA,
meet someone. It's
LA and New York, always.
My therapist
first conversation.
Says,
in AA.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So anonymous.
Things that you are supposed to be private with. But, okay, I didn't need to know, but she's telling me, I'm seeing this therapist to help me get over this relationship. It was really bad. I'm like, how long have you been seeing the therapist? She's seeing the therapist for 2 years. I'm like, wow, how long were you with this person? 6 months.
Wow.
Seriously, it is a bigger issue if it's taking you that long to talk to someone. It's like, how about you just shut up and move on?
You're listening to Skeptically Yours on skepticallyyours.net and available at the iTunes Store.
Good news, everyone.
We have a premium service. We do the show for 90 minutes. You'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour for free from iTunes. We always do that. The premium service, however, will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Al Lubell, Fred Stoller, Drew Marks, and my mom is actually sitting there on Skype.
She's very quiet.
I'll bring her into the conversation. You still with us, Mom?
No.
Here's why I wanted Mom to be here. We're all entertainers on this podcast, usually who we have on our show. All of us have struggled with, and I know you have, and I suspect you have, Al, struggled with being an entertainer and being accepted by our family members, our moms, our dads. And I think you're doing something on this. Is that right, Fred?
Well, no. I have a book coming out in April, and I talk about my mother, excuse me, my childhood, and, you know, things like I go on podcasts and she doesn't know what I said about her,
yeah.
The mental illness thing, psychotic thing she's done. And now she's going to find out because the book, she knows how to do that.
She knows how to read.
She knows how to, open up a book and
a lot of parents can't find the podcast thing. They're just,
We were thinking of getting her a Nook, but she can't send an email or double lock a door. She's so out of it. She doesn't know how to turn the ringer off on her iPhone. Sorry.
You're right.
You didn't know how to do that. No, she doesn't have an iPhone.
What, no, is this just because she's technologically challenged or is there something else happening here? Like
I can certainly hear the psychologist in Drew.
She's psychotically fear based. And I get like that too. Like I get nervous with instructions. I have anxiety. I need to nap.
I'm like that.
Yeah, I just like want to freak out and punching the printer. Like I don't. And people will say, Fred, a printer's easy. You install a drive. No, once you say install a drive, so I can do some things, but my mother. I grew up with this fear based of everything. You'll go somewhere, you'll get killed. You know, she used to go, you'll come home in a box, you know, if you go there, that neighborhood. And so I kind of talk about things like that in this book, my childhood. And basically, I have this weird mixed feeling of guilt where I feel guilty because she's not as psychotic as she used to be. She's sort of proud of me because someone told her she should be proud. She goes, I guess you did something. Oh, that's not my bong noise. And Al even met her. And I always say my mother's like Mr. Ed because you know how Mr. Ed would only talk for Wilbur? And people go, she's sweet. She's sweet because she's old. And I used to tape phone calls with her because I wanted people to hear, see when she says these damaging things.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I have this weird thing where I once said to her, I had an unhappy childhood, and she got all mad. Why do you keep blaming me? She resents me because me being alive reminds her of bad things she did.
Right.
Do you have siblings?
I have an older sister who finally validates me.
Okay. So did she feel she went through the same thing?
Well, my sister...
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to play therapist.
No. I like it.
It was weird because my sister's older, and my sister got a middle name and other things I didn't get, and I just said, why?
You have no middle name?
No.
Me either.
It's just Fred, and it's not even like Frederick or Alfred. It's like having Mitch or Rick.
Mom, why would you do that to us? Why would you not give us a middle name?
I asked my mother why, and it really made me cry.
What'd she say? What'd your mom say?
I want your mother to talk.
Mom,
this is a whole crazy story.
Compare reasons, though.
Well,
I bet my mother's actually psychotic.
Yeah, mine's not that bad.
Well, ask Mrs. Emery, why did you...
Darlene Helton is her name. Mom!
Yes?
So the question is, why do I have no middle name, and why in the fuck did you give my sister two middle names? No, three? Cronessa, Yvette, May, Lynn, Emery. Three middle names. Interesting note here, I think, if I have this right. May Lynn, we always treated as one word. And then when we looked at a birth certificate, it had been split into two. So it's actually three middle names for my sister, none for me. Mom?
I like you.
Thanks for that. She didn't like me.
She didn't like you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I tore her up on the way out.
Oh,
I don't know
if man.
You do you have a middle name?
Yeah. No, but is she serious? She's joking.
No, she's joking.
So why? But why? I'm really curious.
It's a family name. She'll
name?
Tell you it's a family name. My dad's name was Emery, so they named me Emery the second. And so it was a continuation of an idea.
If we had given you a middle name, it would have been Emery. So that would be silly.
His mother's cool with a silly
really? Wait, you would have been Emery?
Yeah, if they had given me a middle name,
there's
that would have been
a distinct lack of creativity on your family's side.
Everybody says the man's so nice they named him twice. It's the opposite. It's the man so
that's your real
I don't know what
name,
rhymes with they didn't
that's your
fucking
real
bother.
Name.
Yeah, that's my real name.
Oh, so.
Fred never knew this.
I didn't know that.
So, Fred, what did your mom say?
This is a comedy podcast, so it is going to get heavy. And
it's okay. No. We'll just do a disclaimer right now. If you're tuning into Skeptically Yours and you're looking for jokes, fuck off. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay, so, well, first of all, going back to my sister said, and this is in the book, that I go, why did you get middle names and you didn't have to go to a special school and, you know, like me? And she goes, well, this is not the middle name yet, but she goes, I think since I was okay and smart and charming, my sister can't even say mom and dad. She's so removed from them. She says Pearl and Morris.
Wow.
She can't. It's like I had a joke in my act. I said to my mother, Mrs. Stoller, she can't say the word mom and dad.
Really?
She's so removed, and I'm so removed. That's why I feel bad. My mother had cataract surgery last week, and I didn't call, and she just called me, and I'm going to have to visit her. I feel guilty. So I'm so, I really, no, speaking of therapy, I realize you can't, it's not a movie where you hug, and you never gave me applesauce, and you hug, oh, you push her, and you kiss, you know. There's no confrontation. The only way to be there is to not be there, like out-of-body experience, and just put my head down and give one-word answers, and so basically,
don't be there. Honestly, that's me. Fuck the guilt. You know, listen, I didn't have anything to do with
your mother.
My,
sounds cool.
I'll tell you the
only on Skype.
I'm gonna give not at all. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version okay. of my relationship with my mom. First of all, same thing. My mom suffered the same thing that we all kind of some entertainers ear-based. Wrestle with. Well, no. She was a musician. And was
oh,
not,
my mother was a great singer.
Was she really?
No, come on.
Shut up with that.
My mother was an entertainer, hung out at the Improv. Mm-hmm.
My mom was a musician. She traveled.
Oh, we all had that. The way
but
you
there
said
was
that
abandonment in my family, and that my mom left me with the grandparents. Now, she paid for us to be taken care of and all that, but she wasn't there until fourth grade, right? And then after fourth grade, when mom came in and became part of the picture, it was really awful. Mom was fucking wrestling with depression and in this awful relationship with this drunk, abusive jagoff, and all of a sudden we're all thrown into this nightmare, and it was not good. It was very mommy dearest. So, as a young boy, when I realized that I was my own human being, I just stopped. I went for, I don't know how long, 7-8 years, not even talking to my mom. And I'll be honest with you. It was good.
But she seems like a cool person.
We came back together, and we built a relationship from the ground up, and now I have a really good relationship with my mom.
See, my mother is always going to be like a depressed person with Down syndrome. She's no, we're very fear-based, but not bright and nervous.
And a big forehead? And, what? No, go ahead.
I'll
bring up the comedy end of the show.
Well, I think you were lucky that you had no relationship with your mother to begin with. And then you can come back and develop one. So she was really a stranger to you, which is beautiful. To have
a certain degree, that's right.
Start out as a stranger is wonderful.
And to her credit.
She's really not your mother in the beginning. So it's wonderful. Of course you can make up with your mother when she wasn't your mother.
Yeah.
But for someone like me that was enmeshed and entrenched in this thing, to then forgive someone you're still enmeshed with.
Yeah.
You never got away from them.
Right.
You never were separate.
Well, that's why my advice is stop.
Well,
stop going somewhere and not being there. There's no health in that.
But to see, my issue is not trusting my feelings. I always need validation. She is damaging. I'm finally getting that from my sister or nuts because you meet her.
Get it from your friends. She's funny.
She's a sweet Jewish lady. She's adorable. She says words wrong. She's adorable. So basically, yeah, I'm traumatized in the fact that even when she's not annoying, I flinch, and just the sound of her voice makes me recoil because it's sad. There's annoying people. We know a lot in comedy. You know these guys, even when they're not annoying, they're annoying just when you see them.
Yeah.
You just want to run for the hills.
Yeah.
Where's the hills? No, people don't really literally ever run for hills. And
I'd like yes, they do in Japan.
Okay.
I saw it on video.
That's right.
But yeah, so Al has a point that, yes, it's just... It's this thing like, yeah, my mother would be adorable if you just hung out with her a few days, but it's this, I'm so shut down that anything coming out of her mouth, I flinch. So I don't go that often, but I need to tell her that's about the book coming out. And like I said, she got mad.
Are you going to go tell her?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm learning today?
What's that, Drew?
I am a horrible person. Yeah. So that is what I'm taking away from this.
Why
because
that?
My mother... was not like this at all. She's always been great. Just 2 weeks ago, she just took me on a cruise on like the newest cruise ship out there. This beautiful boat.
The water. I'd like to meet your mother.
I was trapped in
you,
a cruise.
But Fred, I will send you to my mother.
There we go.
You will like her.
Well,
but she talks a lot. But I mean, the thing is, I complain about her. But that's why I say I am a horrible person because
you have nothing to complain about.
What are your complaints? That she talks a lot and what else?
It never stops. That's why I say I even in my acting in life, that's why I don't have a girlfriend. I don't like to listen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I should. Yeah, I can't stand that. Yeah. You know, the one thing I do like about visiting my mother.
But my complaints are invalid.
One thing
comparatively,
I do like,
I suppose.
She's okay with me shutting off where we sit and eat and I have my head down. So I like not eating alone. I like eating with other people where I can have my head down and not have to engage.
Yeah.
So I like that because I was dating this woman who got mad because, you know, I was not interacting so much. But your mother, yeah, this is kind of funny and sad, but you know, like you, none of us have kids, I'm guessing, right?
I have a full grown adult.
Okay.
In her 20s.
Okay, if you don't have a kid, you really, I sadly don't get the, I know, you know, the bond you can't describe.
Do you have a kid?
I'm sure we don't get it unless you have a kid. I still don't understand when people hug their brothers or sisters or mom. I don't understand the concept of really bonding with your mother and you're happy to see her and you hug her.
Have I ever hugged you when we saw each other?
No.
No, I don't think she was. He wasn't asking Fred. He was asking his mother.
I wasn't asking you for a hug.
No,
I was just saying.
I'm saying, how do you react when friends hug you?
I do what my mother. This is what I did. I tried being the adult, the big one. I said, I'm going to be the one that hugs her hello.
Okay, good.
I thought she doesn't hug me. So when my brother-in-law could attest, when you try to hug her, she flinches and pushes
you
away. Seriously? She must have had some abuse because she like gets scared and like puts her arms up. So that's not too healthy. Do you hug your mother?
I did what you did. I try to
try to be the big person?
Yeah, I initiated it. And yeah, but it is, I don't feel a real, you know, it's not, there is a, you know, separation. I feel like my mother doesn't really want to do a total hug.
You're trying to be like...
And I don't want to either. I'm not comfortable with it either. It was none of that as a child, you know. So.
I've never heard the words, I love you.
Wow. Al talks about this in his comedy, the disconnection of the family. Do you have issues with family like he's talking about?
Well, his dad is gone. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Right. Okay. Yeah, my father's been dead a while. Yeah, I don't... It was just arguing in my childhood. Just yelling and arguing. There was no, like, expressions of love or I love... Never. The phrase, I love you, was never uttered.
I never heard it.
Al, are you Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's one of the things, though. If you, and I don't know if it's true for other, I know some Italian families, but in Jewish families, all my friends will say the same thing. My family cannot communicate without yelling. It doesn't mean they don't love each other. But, and I have like such a short temper when it comes to my mother. Like, mm-hmm. I'm willing, I find myself, I have to check it because I'm like, we get into an argument, like, and it only takes a sentence, but it's not coming out of any of this.
My kind was yelling, but with no love. Also,
well, no. But I was gonna. I hate to speak for Al, but I think this is what I had. It wasn't arguing like you should bring there. It was just yelling. Don't you go there. You'll come home with a box. There's this. You know, it wasn't like arguing. Well, right. Come on, kid. It was just yelling.
Yeah,
like,
that's
Freddie,
what we
wake
had.
Up at school. You'll be a street cleaner if you miss school.
I'm feeling arguing. I'm feeling pretty good about my mom right now.
I know,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying. I should. And I do. But it's like, wow, I'm the asshole here. It's like, you know.
But
no,
I must say, looking at some pauses, there was some joking around and laughter in my childhood.
Oh, yes.
So that's why I think I was attracted to comedy.
Well, no. I always say mixed messages fuck up a kid more. I was saying on the ride here, I almost not envy people with molestation. I didn't realize the extent of molestation. And I'm saying if you had a reason, like Chris Titus, my father shot my mother. They killed themselves together. They put me on fire. You know, he has all that great. You know, I have just more subtle digging weird stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm saying if you have a label, my mother was in mental institution, she's schizophrenic, mm-hmm. then you have, this is why I'm messed up. I'm saying mixed messages, like my mother would have moments of joy and laughing and or going, I'm proud of you. You know what I'm saying? So that, I think, screws a kid
up. Well, maybe that's why for you, maybe therapy would be good because you said therapy is nebulous and you came from mixed messages. So maybe nebulousness is what you need.
And nebulous is
how does Al
messages.
Do that? Every time. You know,
This guy, he's looking to his friend going, these Jews.
I came from as great a dysfunction as you can imagine. Molestation, right. Abandonment by mom, then reconnection with mom, which ended up being like mommy dearest. Grandma psychotic, yelling, hitting us with things on
so you have
on,
grandma
on my mom's
issues.
Side. I don't have these issues. That's the thing that freaks me out. All my friends are more like you, Fred. I'm the guy who is fucking 99% of the time
freakishly
happy.
Because it was clear cut. how bad your
That's
thing
was. That's what I'm
was.
Saying.
Is
have,
that the difference?
You don't have
yes.
the nebulosity.
Yes.
I don't get
when
it.
I saw Macaulay.
My sister's fucked up from being raped by my uncle.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
Not.
I have to stop doing my molestation joke.
No. We'll do those right after this break. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available on the iTunes Store. Have you heard of our other hit podcast, Ardent Atheist?
Have
well,
you?
You have now. It's hilarious. I swear it is. Check it out if you don't believe
Macaulay
me.
I want to make Macaulay Culkin point when we get
okay,
back.
Macaulay Culkin. www.ardentatheist.com. Go there now or later. Whenever. I don't really care. Just go and stop bugging me. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Alu Bell, Fred Stoller, Drew Marks, and my mom. She's actually ringing in once in a while.
When I was watching on 2020, one of these shows, Macaulay Culkin telling a story goes, my father smacked me, and I said, that's it, you're out. And it was so clear-cut, getting smacked by your father. Now, I didn't have, you know, I didn't have something clear-cut. Like, you had molestation, the grandparents, the all that stuff. I had, you know, my mother would, you know, say, whatever, you know, there's something wrong with you, but then buy me the Puma sneakers I wanted. So, you know what I'm saying? So,
but I had
so
the mixed messages,
you
too, you know, the parents saying, do this,
but
don't
parents,
lie, and then don't tell them I'm here.
No, but
I
you had good parents stuff. Just,
no. My,
just except
no.
they abandoned
Mom,
me.
Mom, tell them how bad you were.
Go I'm ahead. Busy slitting my wrists.
Well, mom, your mom is cool because she could hear this and not go, stop blaming me. My mother
I
would
definitely
do that.
Have a different equation where that's yes. concerned. You don't have that.
So what brought you to more together as a person?
She
now,
admitted
medication?
That she had done awful things and she stopped doing them. That is all it took. All it took for us to start building
yeah,
a relationship.
I think I could tell talking to your mother, even the things she can't help, the bipolar, that she's not fear-based. She's a... My mother's fear and the fear she instilled in me makes her not bright. Yeah. I don't mean that in a bad way. Oh, and she's like a scared kitten or a fish flopping on a dock. You know what I'm saying? Your mother, even with the mental illness, bipolar, sounds like a sensible, bright person. I'm
she
not
goes
saying my
around
mother's
and
not
around.
Bright.
Sometimes she goes into paranoid things and then I yeah. help her. We talk. You
wow.
know what I mean? And I help
Al,
her see
do you
see
have that with your mom?
Well, my mom, yeah.
I've learned that. Talk to Emery about he's the one person that I can trust, and I can say I'm going in some kind of paranoia, and he'll say, well, what are you feeling? And I'll tell him, and he'll walk me through it, and he'll say, wow. You know, this is not true. One of the things that really helped me was he said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people really don't hate you. You
That's
know
what he said about atheism or God, yeah.
So,
I love that mom thinks we think of
I
all
think
this stuff.
The big yeah. difference with me was that I went to learn. And
say that again. You cut
change.
Out. You
My
were willing to learn
were
and
not
willing,
willing
to, change?
To change. And their abuse was pretty severe. Hmm. And I took care of them as they were dying. You know, the last 7 years of their lives. And I decided to just forgive them. And they didn't change. You know, they just couldn't. And I kept thinking they were going to say, "Okay, I'm sorry." And it was I really suffered from that after they passed.
Right.
So I made damn sure that I said I'm sorry and meant it.
Right.
That's deep.
That's yeah. great, Mom.
See, you guys have been through like major issues. Like seriously, in my life, the worst thing I think my mother ever did is she came into my room at 2 a.m. with a tweezers, and she had a piece of dental floss caught in her teeth and needed me to get it out, but. I was on LSD.
Wow.
And so, like, I felt like it was abuse, but I couldn't tell her.
Well,
how old were you? No, this was last week.
Like,
wasn't
19.
It? Oh, okay.
Well, wow. It's all valid if you don't know what the barometer is. You know, we don't, you know, Darfur, all these places, you know. Yeah,
it was my fault.
I'm saying, if something you didn't like, yeah, you didn't.
Well, my mom was nothing like you guys, Mom. Maybe a little bit more like yours, but she was a
short Jewish lady.
Yeah, actually, a stage mom. I had that kind
wow.
of mom. Yes, from the age of 7, I was on stage, and she was making
wow.
sure that I was getting the outfits, getting the shoes. I had. Pictures. I was going to the stupid modeling agencies where you have to pay, you know,
wow.
John Roberts and all that stuff. She died when I was 23, but up until then, it was always she was like this with my manager, this close
wow.
with my manager, and you know, I had several agents and a manager and just
in LA or New York,
in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Oh, where New Jersey
and Camden, New Jersey. Tina.
The problem that Heather had was her mom was highly unhealthy and overweight.
Yes.
And not, and she was highly religious.
Yes, she was.
She was a Jew for Jesus, a reformed.
An overweight
Jew. Very reformed. She was a reformed Jew.
I'm just kidding.
Well, she just...
And the obesity is eventually what got her, I presume.
The biggest thing was the pressure that was put upon me to succeed and how she used to tell me I was going to make her rich. When will I hurry up and make her... So take care of her. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, you were like a little JonBenet Ramsey.
That's exactly right.
Yes. And so I minus those cute little dresses, I basically grew up thinking, I gotta get rich, I gotta get famous, I gotta hurry up and make it, I gotta hurry up and make it, you know, at a young age. But she died when I was 23, and I still kept going, and I still in my mind suffer from that. I gotta hurry up. I'm 40 come March, and I'm still like, I gotta get make it. I gotta do this. So I still have that backlash of emotion from that, even though she's not even around anymore.
You've made it.
See, my
ardent
my
atheist
mom
won
always,
an award.
Yeah, we won an award.
Relax.
My mom was always telling me how proud she was of me, and I'm the skeptic because I'm like, do you know what? Do you see what I'm doing with my life? You're like, why are you proud? I'm like, I never felt like. And it wasn't from anything she did. I was just realistic. It's like, after high school, I went to college, and then I dropped out of college and worked in porn. And my mom is still like, we love you. We're proud of you. I'm like, you don't have to say that, you know?
Maybe she meant it.
Porn in the 80s?
In the mic here.
That was my favorite era. because I don't like with tattoos and fake breasts and piercings. It wasn't like a profession. It was like, these are women you could fantasize about because they look like people you'd see in high school, not so unobtainable. And well, you know what it's like? I always say I'm attracted to women in black pants and a white shirt because they were waitresses at comedy clubs, and I was always like following them around going, hey, what's there to do around here? So I'm still, because those were the waitresses. So that, I guess my first introduction to porn was the 70s and 80s. So who are some women you've been with?
Oh, I don't like to give those names, but Ginger Lynn.
You don't go back to the Seika days.
You
didn't fuck Seika, did you?
No.
No, that was before. She was still around.
What about Christy
time.
Canyon?
It never with, but knew.
What? Right. I knew. Because, yeah, she hit on me once in a comedy club.
Really?
I didn't know she was her. And she gave me her number.
Get out of here.
Cool.
And why didn't you follow this up?
Well, because I did call her once, but she wanted actually to do something that night. Her and her friend wanted to invite me over, but luckily that night some other...
No sympathy for you, anything.
Right. I had a real shot. And then I didn't even know it was her. She said, don't you know who I am? And I was thinking, what are you saying that to me?
Did she see your act or something?
Yeah, it was at the Laugh Stop in Newport Beach. And she said, don't you know who I am? And I didn't know. And then I looked at her thing, and what she wrote down was Tina. And I realized it was short for Christina.
Christina, yeah.
And then I remember.
God, I hate Al now.
Whenever I meet a porn star.
I hate myself too.
I meet a porn star who says, don't you know who I am? I'm like, you're going to have to put your knees behind your head for me to.
Right.
Yeah. I am. But I didn't like the one you mentioned, even though she's
Ginger
gorgeous,
Lynn.
Because they seem like the Hollywood Boulevard bimbo kind of platinum blonde. I like ones that redhead, the curly hair, or just, you know, ones that seemed obtainable.
Even the white.
Can I just say that my mom told me that she loved me every day?
Nice.
I'm going to add that after the porn starts. She told me she loved me every single day.
She said it every day, or she just said it in general? I love
you
every day.
She said it every day. She said it.
Once she said
Ginger Lynn
tattoo.
Was kind of like,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you didn't like Ginger Lynn, but.
No, I didn't dislike her, but I'm saying she represents the kind of coke look. Yeah.
But no, not when in the early days. Okay. Later, yes. In the early days, she was like the Meg Ryan of porn. Mm-hmm. she really was.
I just find it funny that you're kind of offended that Fred's pissed off or bothered that he doesn't like the chick you fuck.
Right.
It's like it was a job, man.
He didn't like your woman.
I've done. You had a porn name, I presume?
I did.
You don't give that out?
Dirk Diggler.
No. Peter North.
I mean, the funny
Please
thing
say
is,
it's Peter North.
No. It was, I went by Drew Andrews, but the thing is, if you look that up now, years later, there was some guy that came out who doesn't look like me.
And
but
does
he
gay,
did
porn.
Gay porn. And like, I had friends going, hey man, we found your stuff. I'm like, I don't think you did.
That's funny.
But do you think,
like, you did gay porn? I'm like, you did not find my stuff.
Do you think it was an unhealthy reason that led you into porn?
No.
Do you think it's a totally healthy thing that doing porn? So you're, are you an exhibitionist? Obviously,
I kind of have that.
All right, let's see.
You're a comic.
How do you ask a comic if he's an exhibitionist?
Right. You have to have an element of that. But you're right. You have to have an element. Right. But you took it to the. You also not only like to exhibit your sense of humor, but your body.
Yes, I was and in so better you, shape then.
Right, you liked having people watch you
now.
Have sex.
I was in really good shape then.
Okay. Did you do it to get to have sex with pretty women?
No.
Or for the money or for the exhibition?
I got into it because when I was in college, my friend, one of my best friends, his uncle was Bob Guccione. You know who that is?
Penthouse magazine?
Right? Yeah. Well, Bob has two twin sisters. I'll make this very quick. One worked for him and the other one had her own magazines. I was offered a summer job and it grew from that.
Literally?
Yes. No, it all started because I had developed this sort of sales program where we would take advertising from people that, you know, sold vibrators and lingerie and stuff, and we were doing a photo shoot and the male model didn't show up. And I'm like, well, we got everybody here. And the guy's like, why don't you do it? I'm like, I don't want to do it. He's like, I'll give you $500. I'll do it. You know, so I did it and they were just kind of looking at me and go, you know, you could do movies. I'm like, huh?
Bow, chicken, bow, wow.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. At 18, I had a house in New Jersey with a sauna and a swimming pool. And all my friends that graduated college, I then hired because I was making great money and having a great time.
Yeah.
And back then it was pre-AIDS and all that. So it's like you didn't have to worry about anything.
Wow.
It was nothing but a good time.
All right, more after this. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to the listeners. The Night in Jail, Travis Roy, Cal Delaney, Berendo Forever, Jacob Ty One, Jacob Cravat, Matthew Ty, Joe Swam, and Cameron
Winters.
You
can never get Joe's name right.
I don't know what it is.
These were the names of the people chatting on the Skeptic Tank last week. Thanks for being there.
Everybody.
That's right. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Alu Bell, Fred Stoller, Drew Marks, and my mom.
Can I just ask Drew, if you did, was it easier to hit on the women after you had sex with them? Could you say, like, you do anything tonight? Or
they really did it.
Yeah,
I know.
There's
but
no reason
it,
to after that.
Really, you have no desire to go out with them after
Here's
you've
the thing,
had sex with them?
I have never had a dating life. I don't. And I've been with a lot of women, but it was all through comedy. I met more women through comedy, and that's actually why I started doing stand-up, because I thought that would be a good way to meet
women.
But
wait, how could you say that porn is not a great way to meet women?
You don't have to meet them. You walk into a room and they're there
for
you.
But after it's over, don't you think, God, that girl's hot?
It's anticlimactic. I mean, it's like Stevie Fromstein did a joke like, I forgot. No, he didn't do the joke.
I love you, Fred Stoller. Having sex
and then go, could I have your number? Right. After you have sex.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, no, you don't. That's just it.
Like, hey, could I have your phone number?
You don't work backwards that point.
I did one porn. I appeared in one porn.
Oh, that's right. You said that too.
I had no interest whatsoever in seeing that girl later.
Afterwards. No, of course not.
Here's the best reason I can give you. Because she was just paid by another guy to fuck me.
Yeah.
Right. And there's something about that particular equation that kind of fucks up the romance. You know what I mean? And I think what Drew's talking about is when you walk in, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. You like this? I do too. Cool. I'll do that for you. Thanks. Let's get to it. It's like a job. It really is much like a job. And we are, as human beings, especially sexual human beings, we're able to compartmentalize in that way. Mm-hmm. And so once you find yourself compartmentalizing the sexual experiences that you're having on the set, it doesn't make a lot of sense to go the other way.
Because you're working while you're doing
it.
Now, as an actor doing it, did you also have subtext?
Not really.
Did you bring subtext?
They tried to put subtext into mine. I did one of those Stranger on the Street shoots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which are all set up. They're not really Stranger on the Street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Here's the other. Well, go ahead. Finish your
story. Well, they don't really go just find some guy going into a 7-Eleven Craigslist ad or other advertisements. Do you want to be in a porn? That sort of thing.
It's reality TV. It's not real.
It's produced.
I guess
stripping
is a little bit different because as a woman, it's easy to fall in love or in lust with a customer that you...
You're giving a lot of guys some false hope right now. I want you to know that.
Well, it happens.
On rare occasion. And so does the relationship in porn on occasion.
Look, people are people, but also back then, porn then and now is a very, very different animal. Like, now you've got women that look like supermodels because they are unbelievably well paid and looked after. Women back then, mentally, not really doing as well.
What are you saying about Linda Lovelace? And I'm not going to stand here and let you just say it.
I'm saying, well, that bitch was crazy.
I know, right? Do you know the story of Linda Lovelace? How she later came out?
Deep throat.
Didn't she say she was abused later on or something?
Yes.
Yeah, she was forced into it, which was simply not true. There's no way it was true. There's no way.
Did you enjoy sex while having sex in a porno movie?
Sure.
You enjoyed it? Right?
I was 18.
Mm-hmm, right.
There was, you know, it was like, oh my God. And you got to remember, I was... What? Not remember, you didn't know. When I was a senior in high school, I was 4'11" and 95 pounds. In my senior year, I grew 8 inches in both directions. So it was like my first introduction. I was shocked when someone said, you know, you can just have women. I'm like, okay. It's like, well, why not?
Drew, I'm shocked that you don't know that you can just have women. You're really attractive. What in the fuck are you talking about?
I've never actually... Look.
Tell me I'm wrong, Heather.
You don't have to say this, Heather. Okay. It's no. Here's the thing, Emery. I'll be honest. I'm not looking for comments or anything. I have always considered myself of average looks.
Okay.
However, above average personality. I will never initiate a conversation with a woman. That's why I do stand-up. If a woman so much as says hello to me, I can close a deal as well as anyone on the planet.
Right,
but I will not start that conversation.
Why?
I'm shy.
No. I need people to break the ice.
Yeah.
I have a little of that. I need someone to show an interest before I'll even do any kind
If they say hello, though, that's fine. Let's do it. I'll, you know, 20 minutes later, I'll have you back at the hotel room.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if you remember the first time we met, Emery.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
On a porn show?
Do you realize that I'm still here?
Oh, hey, Mama.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, let her talk.
Mom,
did you know I had done a porn?
Do you what?
Did you know I had done a porn, Mom?
No, that's why I'm asking that I'm still here because I'm now having heart palpitations.
I did one porn, Mom.
It was a while ago.
When was that? How long ago?
Five, six years ago, maybe. Something like that.
It doesn't make you a bad person.
Right there on that couch.
This is something I did not know about, nor did I ever want to.
Yeah. I've also edited porn. I edit under a porn name.
So you're not like a mother-son relationship. You're like friends.
Very much so.
I see.
Yeah, very much so. I thought I had told
Mom. She's still your mom.
That I had done a porn. I don't remember not telling
you. You know what? My mother went to therapy for a few times. And she came home, and it was more scary. She was trying to be nice. Like, I could picture the therapist going, don't yell at him when you come home. Be nice. She comes home, go, hi, Freddie. Do you want a cupcake? And I was terrorized. Right. It was more freaking me out.
But she was trying.
She was trying, but then it wore off after, like, a half hour. But it was more like, I'm like, who is this? And she goes, hi, did they study at school today? And then one time, she must have learned this in a self-help book or... She goes, I'm telling you as a friend, Freddie, as a friend. And I go, what the fuck are you talking about? It was so insane. But you have different mothers.
We do have different mothers.
I remember we went to Niagara Falls.
Figured out on my own, I think, is that at a certain age, your children are, you know, they're always going to be your children. You gave birth to them. But you're either become their friend or you're going to be lost in the rush there. Because
you're going to get lost, I see.
You can't parent us in the same way that you parented children.
Mothers never stop trying.
I'm sorry.
Wait, you went to Niagara Falls with your mother?
Al, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I went with my parents to Niagara Falls for a summer vacation, like a week summer vacation. And I remember it was a motel, the Tip Top Motel in Niagara Falls. And we all had the same room. I was in a separate bed, the same room, and my mother and father were in the bed together. And in the morning when I was woken up to laughter, to my mother and father laughing, giggling. I guess my father was tickling my mother or something. And I started crying. Amelia started crying. Why are you crying? I go, you're not my mommy. You're not my mommy. They replaced my mommy with a fake mommy that looks just like my mommy.
What?
And they go, what are you talking about? I go, well, my mommy never laughs. I really believed it was not my... Because I used to watch The Outer Limits with fake people. And I used to think it was a... I thought it was a fake mother.
I had a very similar experience when I flew to California to meet my father for the first time. I had convinced myself... it's not quite as horrific as what you just described, for the record.
How old were you when that happened?
11.
Yeah, I was.
That was the first time you heard her laughing?
No, I don't think it was the first, but it was in general. I never heard her laughing. So
wow, when the plane took off, I thought we were just flying around in the sky while people came in and changed the trees and the people and took my mom and stepdad away and brought in my real dad who I'd never met in person yet. That's what I thought was going on, and that is a weird fucking place to be. But I've been right where you just described.
Can you say that again, the beginning? Because I was still thinking of my story.
Oh, sorry. Right. I thought they changed.
It is a good story. You can't just gloss it over.
Can you say it again? What, the beginning? I know you took a trip and you visited.
I was flying to meet my dad for the first time, and I think I'd never been on a plane before either. So I had.
How old were you?
11 or 12, okay. Maybe 13.
So you thought the world was limited to where 13. You lived.
Right. Yes. No, I thought the Truman Show was real, and I was Truman. That's the basic.
So wait a minute. So you're flying at 11 to meet your dad.
And I thought the plane just went up and hovered around while I wasn't in film and television. I am now, but I wasn't then. But I had this film and television view in my head, this cartoony idea that people were just coming in and changing things. Putting new trees in, changing, putting in bigger highways, and putting in well-tanned people while they took my family and people I knew elsewhere and just put them in maybe a green room.
So you thought the plane didn't go anywhere?
No, it just hovered around while they changed the set.
That's crazy.
And brought in new actors. My dad, his family now. And
did you not go to school at 11?
I didn't do well at 11.
I see.
I was making D's and
F's. That's pretty imaginative. Wow.
Yeah, I really was trying to piece it together. When we got off at LAX and we get in the car and I see these palm trees.
Bridezillas, where are they now?
Yeah.
Who would they ever?
It was really confusing.
That just came on.
It just came on a TV. Yeah.
What the hell is Bradzillers?
Oh, go turn that off, honey. That's actually
We're out of time.
No,
we're out of time.
No, we're not. We have 3 more minutes. We started.
Right. I want to know what a Bradzilla is now.
Have you not seen Bradzillers?
No.
It's a TV show about nightmare brides.
Oh, my God.
And apparently
did you
the
have
one
a
you're
lot of this fantasy, Al, where you didn't know what was reality and what wasn't? Did this happen to you a lot?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I'm not sure. It sounds like something that would.
I had this fantasy that I would wake up, be a good-looking kid in the suburbs with nurturing parents, and that whole skinny Freddy thing was a bad nightmare. I used to have that fantasy,
right?
That it was that my life was just a bad dream, and I'd wake up being Cliff, good-looking guy in Long Island.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't remember the name Cliff, but I'm just saying,
Fred, wake up.
Yeah.
Fred, wake up.
Yeah.
It'd be cool, wouldn't it?
But yeah, I had that fantasy. But I don't mean to, look, let me, before we sum up, I mean to say my life's a nightmare. You know, I get to have lattes. I sleep when I want. Do you feel this? Do you feel guilty that when you hear the abuse, the sexual abuse, that you know, his mother, you know, this, and abandon him? Do you feel guilty that we just had the tepid stuff?
Or? I had some worse stuff I'm not willing to speak of.
Okay. Oh, really?
Now I feel more guilty.
Okay. We all feel guilty.
I'm just going to go with thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The most adjusted kid here went into porno. You know, the most greatest mother. But no, it's all...
If I had a better mother, I would have been in porno, too.
She was a second grade school teacher.
I wanna, let me be positive. My mother, very sensitive with blacks, always... Well, she can't go to a restaurant. There's a black busboy. She has her head down. I feel sorry for him. That's all blacks do. I mean, it's racist.
Wow.
It's racist, but sympathetic at the same time. This is a funny story.
She's a nice
story.
Racist.
She got mugged. A black guy threw her down. This is 2008. And she goes, it's not going to stop me. I'm going to still vote for Obama.
So wow.
She doesn't like bullies. And she loved Al when she met him. He's quiet. He's not nervy. So I when she feels guilty, I go, I'm sensitive. I don't like abusive. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
she's sensitive.
You got some good qualities from her.
Very good qualities.
The black hairdo didn't freak her out on Al?
Well, when he didn't have the limp yet. She goes...
Well, I want to. That's it for the free version of episode 22. We're going to talk a little.
We're
going to
do
more.
That one that's worth paying money for now.
We're going to talk a little bit more about porn. I have a feeling in the last 30 minutes of the show. This is another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guest, Al Lubell, Fred Stoller.
Tell the premium, you'll say why I never did the story. Don't have a middle.
Drew Marks and my mom. In the premium episode, we're actually going to get Al Lubell to talk about who touched his anus. Mm-hmm. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson.
That's
Tune
me.
In next week. Did you touch Al's anus?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Wait.
I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
other amazing people.
And we'll be talking about...
other amazing things.
That's right.
Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Skeptic Tank moderator, Joseph Mama's Boy Swam. And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Mama's Girl Winters.
You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of the ever-expanding universe.